This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may live upon the earth. And certainly this program is important for all people, because DavidDuke.com, this website, and the men and women who support this site are about the idea that every race, every nationality, every ethnic group, every expression of humanity and mankind has a right to preserve its way of life, its values, and certainly exercise the basic freedom that we call human rights and freedom of speech, press, thought, and conscience. We at this site believe that there is a specter on the world horizon that threatens freedom in many ways. And it's not only a specter that promises human compulsion, human slavery, but it's a specter that has brought about and is bringing about a so-called clash of civilizations that's leading this world to the spilling of oceans of blood. Right now, the United States is engaged in an epic struggle in Iraq. And it's a struggle, I believe, and many others around the world believe, is not in the interests of the people of the United States, and certainly not in the interests of the people of Iraq. Whatever the problems of Saddam Hussein, they are mild in comparison with the perhaps 500,000 Iraqis who have died violent and bloody deaths, most of them civilians, since the American war and occupation with Iraq, a war that was completely based on lies. The so-called weapons of mass destruction didn't exist. The connection between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda didn't exist. The entire rationale for the war was a lie. And I was one of the few commentators in the world, one of the few political figures in the world, that dared to say this. Certainly, one of the very few American known or public figures that took this position. Well, it turned out I and many other people on this issue were right. The media lied to us. The government lied to us. The overwhelming evidence was that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We had hundreds of inspectors on the ground combing every inch of the country. We offered millions of dollars of bribes and rewards to any Iraqi who would be able to tell us where these weapons were. And by the way, it would take many thousands of people to hide or bury or lock up or put in warehouses or whatever thousands of tons of weapons and explosives. So if these weapons truly existed, certainly someone would come forward to these international inspection teams and say, look, I'll tell you where the weapons are. I'd like to pick up my cool 10 million. It's just insane. This was a lie. But what was the purpose of the lie? Why did we want to go to war with Iraq? Were we going to get, as Americans, more oil from this war in Iraq? Were we going to have a better economy? Well, what are we paying now, ladies and gentlemen, for the price of a barrel of oil today as compared to what we paid before the war? And ladies and gentlemen, Saddam Hussein offered to sell us oil at bargain basement prices. We did not get any oil out of this conflict. We've got a bill now of over $600 billion for Afghanistan and Iraq, and we are going to spend, the American people, the American taxpayer, I should say, because it's not government ultimately, it's the people that pay this bill. We're going to spend in the trillions of dollars, even if the war was stopped tomorrow, because we have tens of thousands of Americans who've suffered grievous injuries. we will probably have 1 million Americans at least that are suffering mental impairment. The United States Pentagon itself, its own study, shows that better than 30% of the men and women serving in Iraq for long periods of time will be coming back to the United States needing professional mental counseling and help. We're going to talk here, ladies and gentlemen, about a bill that's going to be in the trillions of dollars, an immense national treasure, one that could afford to give every American working person health insurance, which so many can't afford today, one which could give every college student free tuition in universities, one that could improve our society and give the taxpayers tremendous relief. And it's cost us an enormity. Why? So was there an economic incentive for the war? No. Was there some sort of a reason of security that we pursued this war? No. The war was pursued for one reason. Israel wanted the war. And I repeat this and repeat this and repeat this, and I hope it gets through to more and more listeners out there, because it must get through. Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz are acknowledged, even by the press of the United States of America, to have been the chief orchestrators, promoters of the Iraq War. Who were they? The radical Jewish extremists, so-called neocons. In fact, Richard Perle, David Wormser, and others wrote a paper for Benjamin Netanyahu, the radical Likud, former prime minister of Israel. They wrote a paper proposing war with Iraq, Iran, and Syria. And that's precisely what we did. It was because Israel was fearful of Iraq. Saddam was supporting the Palestinians, and they didn't want any other country to be strong and powerful in that region. Israel had already bombed, Iraq's nuclear reactors about 15, 20 years prior. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the source of the war. They just used American blood and American money to fight this war. Now, recently, researchers such as Walt and Mearsheimer's professors. Walt, for instance, is a professor at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, the premier university of the United States. In a recent paper called Israel and U.S. Foreign Policy, they state the same issues, the same ideas, the same points that I have been stating so clearly. As so many of my listeners know who've been listening to me for a long time, I've been saying these things for years. But I guess that shows that you can receive a bit of truth, a bit of enlightenment, a bit of understanding from this website. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to continue now with the final part of my Kyiv press conference at the university there in Kyiv, the largest private university in the nation of Ukraine, a university that the Zionists, the Jewish extremists, are demanding to shut down. In fact, Israel issued a formal statement demanding that Ukraine take the president of the university, Dr. Shokin, off of the ballot to prevent the conservative party of which he leads, to prevent them from exercising freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, freedom of politics in a so-called democratic society. They even demanded that. Israel demanded that of Ukraine. And now they've pulled the strings and they're trying to shut down this university in a terrible act of injustice. This university is accredited by UNESCO, United Nations Education Organizations, the nation of Ukraine. They have affiliates in many countries. They have exchange programs with many major universities around the world. More government officials in the Ukrainian government have been educated at this university in Kyiv than any other institution. And as you know, I received my doctorate from that university after study. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a situation that there is very little freedom anymore in the West. And specifically, Jewish extremists are trying to prevent people from exercising freedom of speech and thought and press and conscience. And to me, these are the core principles of freedom in Europe and around the world. Because without freedom of speech, every other freedom is tenable. Every other freedom is in danger. Well, you'll have a chance to hear my comments, and mainly this is question and answer period. Again, I put a little bit of the translation in there, but for the sake of brevity and easy listening, most of the translation parts have been taken out. And the questions, which were spoken in Ukrainian and Russian, which I've somewhat understood, and was also translated a bit. They didn't come in very clearly, so it's hard for you to hear the questions, but you'll get an idea of the questions from my answers during this press conference. We had a number of professors, a number of very fascinating people, and also I give my take on, for instance, the possibility of the Iran war and the nuclear weapons issue with Iran. I think you're going to find this press conference and this lecture very interesting. And I hope that you continue to support DavidDuke.com and continue to work very hard for the awakening of our people and all the people of the world, around the world, to the dangers of Jewish extremism, to the suppressive, cruel nature of Jewish extremism, to the murderous and terrorist nature of Jewish supremacism, as you can see in what's happened in Israel. This is not all Jews I speak of, but is certainly an element of Jewish extremism that endangers all people, and I think also poses a threat to the Jews themselves as well as to us. That's it. Hope you enjoy the program. Here we go. What happened with the policies is that since the Second World War, the Zionists, the Jewish extremists, have been consolidating their power, not only here, but all over the world. In the United States, they've consolidated their power.
Что случилось после Второй мировой войны, сионисты пришли во многих странах к власти, не только здесь, но и в США.
And they have reached the point now they don't want any nation to dissent from their program. You saw that policy very specifically orchestrated in the Serbian war. When American bombs dropped on Belgrade, it made me sick to my stomach to see our European brothers and sisters being attacked by America. This war was not about human rights in Kosovo. It was purely about the idea of the Serbian people to control their own destiny in their own country. The forces of the New World Order would not relent until they humbled Serbia to their will. Now, this process of change happened even before President Yushchenko here, in my opinion. And please understand my opinions about Ukraine. I do not suggest they are superior to any of your opinions. This is what I've read, I've researched, and the interviews I've done with Ukrainians, plus my studies of American policy in terms of Ukraine. So long before the Yushchenko regime, the tentacles of the New World Order are reaching into your country in terms of business and economy, and in terms of the control of your press, this free press. The daily paper you pick up is not. Is controlled press. The problem you have with your daily press in Ukraine is the same problem I have in the city of New Orleans where I live. My paper in New Orleans, we have one daily. It's owned by the Newhouse family, a Jewish family, in New York City. I tell you what, the problem we have with our control in New Orleans is worse than the problem we had with Huracan, because this alien press devastates our spirit, our hopes, our policies, worse than any hurricane or any natural disaster. Efforts of the New World Order are through media and money. Now, I had the interesting experience of driving through Ukraine yesterday, and I keep looking for the economic miracle of Ukraine, but I can't seem to find it. As you know, many people in Ukraine are still suffering very much economically. The rich gets richer, the poor gets poorer, and the average person continues to suffer. Where have been the promises of this new revolution? And you must understand that globalism is an engine of these multinational corporations. They have no interest in the common man. They have no interest in the common man. They are trying to concentrate the wealth and power in an elite. Even their word of so-called democracy is a lie. Because when you control the media and you control the money, it's easy to control the voting. The only way democracy can work, if you have strong assurances that every political voice can be heard, look at the effort to suppress the Conservative Party in the last election, and any true opponent of this of these regimes. I can give you example after example. Remember, just recently in Flanders, in Belgium, the Bloc Vlaming had a great electoral victory. But the reason they didn't sweep power is because they gave all non-Belgium people in the country the right to vote, non-citizens. Just because they knew this would prevent them from having power. The rules go away from these people. The rules disappear. Remember the story of Mr. Haider in Austria, the Freedom Party. He was elected overwhelmingly in Austria, the biggest party in Austria. The European Union then began to threaten Austria with sanctions, economic boycotts, and eventually he had to step down, otherwise the country would have been penalized.
So there was no respect for the democratic wishes of that country. I'll give you one more example, example of my political life. I come from Louisiana, which is still there. Katrina did not fly us away. Louisiana is about the size of Austria, about the same number of people. And I ran for governor of my state. I got 60% of the European American vote, but did not win because they organized the minorities against me. But more importantly, the way they beat me was by economically blackmailing Louisiana. They told the voters, even if you like David Duke, even if you like his policies, if you vote for him for governor and he wins, we will economically destroy Louisiana. They've threatened to move factories. New Orleans, which is a tourist center, convention center, they threatened to cancel conventions at our huge superdome. So even democracy is a lie. The only way a democracy can work is if you take all special interest money out of the race. And every point of view has an equal opportunity for advertising and media and campaign propaganda. People must choose their candidates not on the basis of how much money they have, but how strong their ideas are and the content of their character.
Потому какие он может идти и какого у него характер.
Okay, next question. Yes, sir. Thanks. Yes, I like.
The 60s, 70s were a confrontation between USA and USSR. There was Ken, who worked as an embassy in the USSR.
Mm-hmm.
Він обґрунтував агресивну і насильницьку політику Радянського Союзу тим, що це спричинило природи, природи історичного
розвитку і природи Вважаєте
ви, що сама природа історичного розвитку Сполучених Штатів, починаючи від колонізації і закінчуючи її природу і розвитку в регіоні, саме на континенті Північної Америки,
do you think that the history, exactly the history of the USA, so the history of the world from the colonizing time up to now, the thing is not going to be?
Yes.
Respective of the government being treated by Zionists or Jewish people?
Yes.
This nevertheless is the methods of aggression because we don't see the
not power. Okay. Well, okay, let me answer your question the best that I can do so as an American. There are two strains of American thought about foreign policy. Now, the traditional American strain, the founding of America, was based on the idea of American independence. It's said in this way. And these are traditional conservative views in America. It goes back to the ideas of the Roman civilization. There comes a time when a nation must decide between being a republic or an empire. The two are basically incompatible. You have freedom at home, or you have an empire which you must administer with an iron hand. And as you mentioned, a ruthlessness that goes along with that. But ultimately, the ruthlessness and the iron hand comes back to your own people. This is happening to America right now. The recent Patriot Act takes away many basic American freedoms and rights. One of the core freedoms of America, which is contained in our Bill of Rights, is the right of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus. It means, habeas corpus means the right not to be charged or not to be held in prison unless you're charged with a specific offense. And that you have the right to confront those charges. The President of the United States recently signed a bill basically wiping out habeas corpus, saying the President can simply deem someone an enemy of America and hold them without trial, without hearing, not even have to admit that they're being held, like being kidnapped. Now, at this point, they are not using this against others than they say are terrorists. But terrorists can be charged just like anyone else. So the precedence is there for taking away our rights entirely. So against the ideas of the people of republic are the people of empire. And in their terrible actions around the world, not only hurting countries like Ukraine and such as Iraq, but they're ultimately harming the great mass of American people. America has a big immigration problem. We have millions of Americans coming over our borders without going through customs or immigration, illegally. Whole parts of the southwest of the United States now look more like Mexico than America. The cost to the American people is enormous. Crime, education, medical care. But this immigration increases the power of the internationalists, the divide and conquer strategy. And we have American military patrolling the borders of Iraq and Iran and Syria. But the government of the United States and the media of the United States wants to see the immigration to America to transform us from a European country. So those are the two factors. I hope that answers your question,
sir.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Is there any connection?
Профессор, чем?
Masonically. Okay, I've studied this issue for many, many years, and Masonry still has some power in Europe, but this was an issue that was far bigger in the last century, in fact, in the 19th century, than it is today. It may be a factor in some communities. It was a method of their power 2 centuries ago. Some remnants remain today. But today they've moved beyond that. In their open control of international finance, media, and government corruption. And by the way, you all have a copy of my book here. This book is now, according to the radical Jewish groups, the best-selling book in the world on the Jewish problem since the Protocols of Zion. I hope that you enjoy it, and I'd like to get your input. If you'd like to write to me, my website address is davidduke.com. You can write it in the book if you like. I'd like to hear from you in emails. I'd like to hear your impressions of the book. I hope you enjoy it. How many people here have already read the book? Raise your hands, please. We got a few. How'd you like it? Oh, great. Okay, he's got a question.
Я уважно прочитал вашу
книгу
и захоплений вашей особистості. Ви мені нагадуєте Джона Кеннеді, який перший в Америці на офіційному рівні президентства повів боротьбу проти цієї мафії. Як вам здається, можна створити армію порятунку, яку створював Джон Кеннеді проти цієї мафії в наш час?
It's possible to set up an army of salvation for Ukraine, the Ukraine.
І ще одне питання. Дослідники єврейського питання вважають, що християнство – це канал сіонізму. Джон Дуглас Рід. Джон цей «Спор осівування». «Спор осівування», який написав. «Спор осівування». Дуглас Рід. Як ви вважаєте оце питання з християнства? Це політика Сіона чи ні?
Okay. First, let me say, appreciate your enthusiasm. Very strong man. We need strong men. I think this. I don't think Christianity traditionally has been a tool of the Zionists.
Я не думаю, що християнство може розглядатися як орудие антисіоністів.
Most of the anti-Zionist campaigners in the centuries ago were in fact Christians.
Ну, фактически, как они друг с другом не боролись, но сионизм особо влияние на христианство не имело.
But I think they have endeavored to control Christian organizations just like they've endeavored to control all organizations.
Но я думаю, что они мечтают, спят и мечтают, и видят, как они контролируются христианской организацией, как они хотят контролировать другие.
And they've gained control over some of the major Christian organizations in the United States.
К сожалению, они уже взяли под свой контроль некоторые христианские организации США.
And it's a terrible scenario because there's no bigger enemies of true Christianity than, of course, these radical extremist Jews. The Jewish Talmud basically says that Jesus was, it's a disgusting thing to say, but that Jesus was being boiled in semen. Terrible. Yeah, say it. I'm sorry for the words. This is fact. It may sound strange, but it's true. It's horrible. It's pornographic. It's evil. And if I read the Jewish websites like Dat Emet, Dat Emet is a Jewish site in Israel, which has all the documentation on this. They have a great hate for Jesus Christ. This is not all Jews. But the core of Jewish orthodoxy has this opinion. And so the question is, there are many Christian groups which are authentic and good, and there are some groups that are controlled by them. Okay, any further? One more question. One more question. Thank you very much. Well, he's got one and he's got one. Okay, we've got two questions and that's it, okay? Oh, we got three questions and that's all. One, two, three. You first, sir.
Я хотел бы выразить большое уважение вам, как ученым, и задать несколько неприятных вопросов.
Не
обязательно отвечать на них.
One question. Please give me your best shot.
Одне приємне запитання. І все, час не знімає. Я перепрошую, але не знімає час.
Не кажется ли вам, що американський народ це така ж фікція, як недавно був совєтський народ?
Fiction as the Soviet people used to be.
Уничтожение американских индейцев, говорит о том, что это единая идеология.
Maybe it proves that it's the same
ideology. Просто одной стороной повернута к евреям, второй к
воинам. One point with different sides. One point is Indians, the other point is Arabs.
No, okay, that's a fair question. Thank you for your question.
Это довольно нормальный вопрос.
I think there's a vast difference.
Думаю, огромная разница.
Let me explain. If you go back in history over long periods of time, there have been migrations and struggles. Specifically, if you go to the history of your own nation here in Ukraine, there have been many migrations and many struggles between over thousands of years. North America is a huge expanse of land. Most historians say that in the entire continent, there were perhaps only about 1 million Indians. Europeans were starving in many places, in Britain and in the industrialized world. They needed space to survive. There were conflicts in America, yes. Not much different than the conflicts between the Indian tribes for tens of thousands of years. Now, let me tell you the latest anthropological evidence. The oldest remains of mankind in North America is found in the Anthropological Museum of Mexico City, about 9,000 to 11,000 years old. Ironically, forensically, the remains are of European mankind. As you know, a forensic scientist can find a body, remains, find remains of a human being. And tell you specifically specifically the race and sex and other characteristics of those remains. Europeans came to the New World long before Columbus. That's Roscombe, and in the Kennewick man, and in the Piltdown man in Americas, we are now believing that the earliest people of North America were Europeans. Who in the struggles lost the struggle? To the Indians. When Americans came to, when the people of Europe came, and the people, including people of descent of this land, all Europe, came to the Americas, it wasn't with the intention of ethnically cleansing the land. There was no open policy or purposeful policy of terrorism. It was the fact that great numbers came. It was the fact that the people of explored the West and settled the West. And it was conflicts that did arise. In Israel, this happened in 1948, in the last century. This was a purposeful policy of terrorizing the Palestinians and dispossessing them. That's the fact. And there is a distinct difference between that and the cultural and the migrational policies of ancient times. Also, let me say this. If you want to judge today's events by the moralities of 200 or 300 years ago or 400 years ago, I don't think that's very possible. You have to judge by what our values are in today's time. And I don't think even today that the world would say, yes, Europeans should now go to a land populated by American Indians or anyone else. I wouldn't support that. I don't support colonialism. But we're talking about the modern world and the present day. And we all have a morality now, and we know we should respect other peoples and other nations. But to go back in time and say, your people did that, in every people's history, in every people's past, there have been times. Sure, I'm sorry.